All right, so after all that, let's take a big breath in. And with the exhale, just clear away everything. In one breath like that, and then settle into your breath and just sort of focus on it and get present to the inner world within your heart, within your mind. And then release all your breath. Just let it go out of your lungs until there's no breath in there. And then as you inhale, I am. And then on the exhale, God is. Just continue on with that little meditation for a few breaths. And then feeling the heart center. See if you can just let yourself open. As if the windows of a room opening in the front and behind and to each side. Until light floods your being. And as you look out the windows of your heart, noticing the beauty that surrounds you. Trees as far as you can see, lush greenery, the wind gently moving the leaves in the breeze, sunshine coming in another window, warming you. As you continue to breathe, you notice that you are breathing as the wind is blowing. Growing as the leaves are. And then bring that awareness and start to climb the ladder of your inner self, reaching higher now. Physically moving the vision up to the point between the eyebrows. And then imagining yourself on the balcony of a very tall building with no walls. Able to see in all directions. At once realizing that you are creation. And now for a few eternal moments, resting in the peace of pure, divine love.
sing how much I've been blessed with people to love, some peace of mind and happiness. It makes me want to pass along this love I received as a way of giving thanks for what's been given to me. I've got a strong heart. I've got a strong love, and I'm ready to use the gifts I've been given to make this world a better place to live in. And I'm ready to use the gifts I've been given to make this world better place to live in. I used to have a lust for more that bordered on greed, till I looked around and saw that I have more than I need. I thought I had to have it all before I could share, till I realize what's mine to give has always been there. I've got a strong heart. I've got a strong love. And I'm ready to use the gifts I've been given to make this world a better place to live in. I'm ready to use the gifts I've been given to make this world a better place to live in. I may not make a difference that the whole world can see, but if I can show more kindness, that's what matters to me. I'm changing on the outside, finding gray in my hair, but the difference on the inside is that I don't care. I'm losing my desire to be what I'm not, and I got what I want now that I want what I've got. I've got a strong heart. I've got a strong love, and I'm ready to use the gifts I've been given to make this world a better place to live in. And I'm ready to use the gifts I've been given to make this world a better place to live in.
Thank you so much for that beautiful song. I was, you were singing about changing, and I was thinking about how everything changes. When I first started coming to Unity, Ireland and Savannah were about this tall. And I watch you guys grow up and your voices turning into these just gets, we don't know how it happened, but they got more beautiful, you know, every time. So thank you so much for all that you do. And also Terry, same thing, growing and evolving and becoming more wonderful. And so it is for each of us, also always growing. The only constant thing is change. Some of us go kicking and screaming, right? So today I want to talk about prosperity and about living prosperity. It kind of has to do a lot with what we were talking about with the 4T class. But the more I get into the Unity teachings and practice them in my life and see how they work in other people's lives, the more I realize what a profound gift that we have. And it's a timeless gift. The things that we work with, I think, are principles, laws, that universal spiritual laws that never change in the midst of us changing. And so when we think about prosperity, a lot of times it's difficult to think about that without thinking about manifestation and what we're bringing into our lives, what we're experiencing as our reality. And so there's many aspects of that, but I want to focus on three today. And that's faith, forgiveness, and allowing. And I think about this with my vegetable garden. Shows me a lot about manifestation. And anybody that gardens kind of knows how that works. And I've got these pumpkin plants. And how many have pumpkin plants right now? So just a few. Pumpkins have these beautiful big yellow flowers that come up. And so when I was watering my garden, I was thinking about this process of life. And to plant a garden, how we must, you know, we've got to prepare the soil. And these are all things that I did for this little yellow flower to come. Had to prepare the soil, plant the seed, and then water it. And so I think about that watering and how important it is for that seed to grow. It has to have it. And so I thought about a living lake, like an eternal spring of water, the water of life. And I thought about the lakes up here and my gardens down here. And to get that water to my seed requires a lot of moving obstacles. The farmer has to dig out the ditch, you know, to get the water to come down there. And of course, I just grab my hose and spray it on there. But in the old days, that wasn't how it was. And so to get this water to the lake, you've got to dig your ditch and move all these things out of the way. And then your water can come down and it nourishes the seed. And then the seed pops up. And what is it? It's a tender little thing. So tender that it's easy to crush it. It's easy to have it eaten by a slug or whatever it is. So you've got to protect it and nourish it. But pretty soon, that stalk becomes really strong. And you can't hurt it. I mean, it's strong. I mean, you can, but it takes a lot more. And then with continued nourishment, the plant starts to grow and its flower opens. And now it has to get pollinated. And so life pollinates it, doesn't it? I was reading about pollination when I was putting this together. I was like, what is pollination anyway? And they said most pollinators don't even know they're doing it. They're just flying around from one thing to the other. And there's this whole process that happens I won't get into, but basically the pollination happens and now that flower can turn into the fruit, the pumpkin or the fruit or whatever it is. And then the fruit gets consumed or not. However it is, it turns back into the earth and returns to the soil. And then the soil gets prepared and we bring it up again. And this is the process of creation. You know, it's like, I call it cosmic Tai Chi. It's just doing what it's doing. You know, you have kids and then grandkids and then, you know, life goes on. And pretty soon, how many generations in the future and how many generations in the past has it taken to grow one pumpkin? And so then, of course, my mind, I go, where did the seed come from? Who made that pumpkin seed? And I want to know, who made the water? How does it work? And so I start thinking about this with creation. So the pumpkin is not the prize, but rather the process of creation is. So we as human beings are the same way. We're not fundamentally our bodies, but they're useful in realizing creation. In fact, as I get more into the Bible, I realize that a lot of the Bible is telling us that you are the way that creation experiences itself. And we talk about that. I think I mention that every Sunday because it blows me away to realize the gift that my life is for me, and also the gift that my life is for creation to experience itself. Why do the stars shine? So they can see themselves through my eyes. So you are as useful to God as God is to you. You as creation, or you as created, I mean, and God as creation itself. In that way, creation's copacetic. So it takes it all to experience it. And I love this notion. It's in the Course in Miracles. It's in the Hindu traditions. It's in Charles Fillmore writes about it. And it's something that we come to in our consciousness. We realize that time is done, that creation is done. There's no more that can be created. It's all done right now. And that's sort of mind-boggling when you think about the universe is constantly expanding and we're constantly chasing it. You know, scientists are. We want to get to the edge, but you'll never make it because it's expanding. Well, how is that if it's done? It's kind of a weird thought. So if creation's done, then what about us creating something? It's an illusion, isn't it? But we do kind of create, but not entirely. What we do is we bring things into being from the wholeness of creation itself. We bring the living water to the seed. And so creation is a process in that way, but it's an allowing, really. It's an allowing to come into our lives whatever it is that we desire. It's not about getting something that's not there. So we arrive at this strange paradox that we must let go to have it all. We've got to give it away to keep it. It's the foundation of prosperity. The more we let go, the more we appear to have, just like Sharon's poem that her dad wrote. A lot of people don't know this about Hal, but he was here at Sunday school in this building in 1929, I think, or something. Yep. And it's an interesting thing. Hal's been coming here for a lot longer than any one of us, I think. And so creation itself, I think about this. We had a hornet's nest inside our house, and you get near that thing and you just feel it buzzing. You can just hear those bees. And that's what creation's doing all the time. It's buzzing like a giant beehive. It's always just, everything is buzzing. And that's actually called the primordial sound of Om. The universe is buzzed into creation. It's vibrated into creation. Your body right now is vibrating at a massive rate. And some people are like, yeah, I know that. It's funny how it is. So I say, when I say the more we let go of, the more we appear to have, it's because it's already ours now in that way. We can manifest anything that we want into our lives, that we're surrounded by the entire magnificence of our divine inheritance. So what is our divine inheritance? It's pure, unmanifested divine ideas, what we call substance, with a capital S, God's substance. And Charles Fillmore called this substance the underlying reality of all things, the living energy out of which everything is made. Don't you love to think about living energy? And you say, how much living energy do I get? And the answer is all of it, whatever part of it you'd like. Well, how do I bring it into my world? Why am I experiencing this when I want to experience this? And so prosperity is simply knowing that you have the keys to the kingdom right now at your disposal and living from it. There's a prayer that I learned in the sweat lodges that I was going to a while back. There was a song. I said, what does that song mean? It just touched my heart. It was sang in Lakota. And he said, it means I pray to you first. And boy, I thought about that for a long time and still do. I pray to you first. In any need that I have, I pray to you first. To the source of all creation first. I go there first. But not if I'm married to a whole bunch of resentments and grievances, because that's what's really running my life. So when we seek to hold on to things and possessions to feel safe, the opposite occurs. And I think that's what Hal's poem is about. We hold on to these things that are going to make us feel safe, and somehow I feel depressed. I've got too much stuff. But it's not the stuff, it's the consciousness around the stuff. We're in fear of losing it, so we live in lack, believing that our supply is limited. And that things are things rather than divine substance. So now let's move to faith. And this is really what faith is all about. One definition says it's our ability to perceive the reality of God's kingdom of infinite good and divine ideas, despite evidence to the contrary, and then use this to mold and shape substance. Charles Fillmore has a famous little, simple little line that he calls faith, and he calls it the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. What are we perceiving with our mind when we get the power to shape substance? We're perceiving our divinity, our true original power, what we're meant to be as divine beings. So when I talk about substance, sometimes it can get confusing. Because you think substance, well, isn't that substance? And it is, but it's substance with a small s. When we talk about substance of divine substance, it's with a capital S. It's substanceless substance, if that makes sense. It's kind of like self. When we talk about selfish, Well, selfish with a small s, people always think that's bad. It's not bad, but it causes a set of results that feel bad. Selfish with a capital S is a good thing, because it means we're getting selfish for praying to God first, to going to source first for everything that we do. And when we begin to move in that way through faith, we begin to see the divinity in each other. And we begin to know that what I do to you, I do to me. And so all of those thoughts and condemnations that I hold against the world, I only hold them against myself. A very famous thing in Hebrews that Paul wrote, he says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not seen. So we open ourselves up to our divine inheritance through faith. I want to read just a quick little paragraph from this book by Charles Fillmore. And if you're interested in this topic of prosperity, the way that Unity teaches it, this book, Prosperity by Charles Fillmore, is a magnificent book. However many times I've read it, every time there's new stuff in there that just rocks my world, literally. I sit there and I'm like, how is this even doing what it's doing to me? Because it activates something inside of me that makes me realize truth. So he says, the spiritual substance from which comes all visible wealth is never depleted. It is right with you all the time and responds to your faith in it and your demands upon it. Your demands upon it. It is not affected by our ignorant talk of hard times, though we are affected because our thoughts and words govern our demonstration. The unfailing resource is always ready to give. It has no choice in the matter. It must give, for that is its nature. Pour your living words of faith into the omnipresent substance, and you will be prospered though all the banks in the world close their doors. Think about what a bank is. It's not just an institution that holds your money. It's anywhere you're storing your consciousness. You can have a bank called a closet in your room, a bank called a garage full of stuff. You know, it goes on and on. Turn the great energy of your thinking upon plenty ideas, and you will have plenty regardless of what people around you are saying. I think that's pretty potent stuff. Who here today that has taken 4T agrees with that? Yeah. That's the kind of stuff we learn when we undertake something like that. And it said real simply, I came across this in some reading and I really liked it. It said, when the mind in faith is seeking spiritual things, it becomes spiritualized. It's that simple. When I'm looking for spirit, when I'm going to God first, that's what I'm finding. When I'm looking for lack and limitation, grievance, upset, resentment, something to be worried about, an opportunity to complain or gossip, that's what I find. And I only hurt myself. In the Revealing Word, it says that faith is built up through denial of all doubt and all fear and continuous affirmations of loyalty to the divine idea, to the higher self. It is having faith in our ability to contact the living spirit of truth right inside us right now and live from it, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of evidence to the contrary. That's what Paul was talking about in Hebrews. This thing that I think I see is not the thing that I think I see. So faith is the rock upon which our church is built. Remember how that worked with Peter? And Jesus said, this is the rock upon which I will build my church. It's our spiritual understanding. And it's kind of fun talking about Peter. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. The spiritual understanding gets tainted when we believe that we are anything less than the image and the likeness of a loving God. When we believe that we are less than. And who here has felt less than? Oh my gosh. So it's here that forgiveness has its tremendous job to do. It's the moving away of the obstacles so the living water can get to the seed. And Peter is such a wonderful fellow to think about this. I don't want to get into the 12 powers here, but the disciples, the apostles like Peter, are very, there's a whole teaching in there that we've gone through many times and we'll go through many times again about how the apostles relate to a certain aspect of our divine inheritance. And Peter represents faith. And when Jesus found Peter, was he faithful? No, he was a bumbling fool. And he just said, I can't do anything. And one time Jesus said about himself, he said, who do people say I am? And all the apostles were saying, well, they think you're the son of this guy or the relative of this person. And Peter said, no, you're the Christ, the living God. And he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build the church, the spiritual consciousness. Because when the spiritual consciousness knows that the Christ that lives inside you, the Christ in you that's pure and innocent, is the foundation of all that we do, that's faith. And upon faith, we can build that church within ourselves. And so then what happened to Peter? It's really an interesting story. You know, he doesn't want Jesus to die, and all these things happen in the Bible story. And then Jesus finally goes, I have to go, because otherwise you guys ain't going to get it. And then he goes and he does his thing, and then Peter gets lit up with the Holy Spirit. And then they go out, and all of a sudden he feels the Holy Spirit. He's like, whoa, I am the Christ, pure and innocent. And him and John represents love. So faith and love go into the temple. And here's a crippled beggar, and he's broken, and he's begging for money and begging for sustenance. He's begging for substance. And Peter says, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And the guy stood up and walked, and then he danced because he could walk. It's really funny how that works. That when we find and contact the living Christ within ourselves, which is what Jesus always was trying to teach the apostles and thus trying to teach us, when he contacted that, he could do all these things. Healing and prosperity is our birthright. So forgiveness means many things to many people. In its most potent form, it is simply letting go of what binds us to error thinking. It's not condoning the horrors of our world, is it? The people, always I'm touched by the forgiveness stories of someone who murdered somebody, and the husband or wife of that person came and said, I forgive you. Not thank you for what you did, but I forgive you. Because that's the more powerful thing in forgiveness. So we can look at our own lives, and we've been abused, we've been hurt, we've been neglected by people. And we don't condone it, but we can forgive it because it sets us free and allows us to contact the living spirit. And then we look at the horrors of the world. God, there's horrors in our world. Massive horrors that are just too much to bear. It's not saying that's okay. It's saying I'm going to forgive myself for having any part of that and set myself free. I come to you first, God. Show me the truth of me. Well, the truth of you is that you're whole, pure, and innocent right now. And all is forgiven and released. So it's setting ourselves free from the confines of fear and resentment and worry and anger, all of which builds a consciousness of lack and limitation. When you forgive someone, you actually tap into great spiritual power, for that is what becomes available in the space the forgiveness creates in your mind. The most difficult, I think, is self-forgiveness. When it comes down to it, anybody that does 12-step work, it's a lot of forgiveness work. 4T is a lot of forgiveness work. When you come right down to it, you forgive all this stuff. And then somebody who's been through the process, they said, there's one person that you didn't get on your forgiveness list. And you always go, who is it? Well, it's you. What? And you realize, oh my gosh, my biggest grievance was with me. I just heard a guy say this at a 12-step meeting the other night. He said, I can look in the mirror at myself. I know what that feels like, to not be able to look in the mirror, to hate what you see looking back. And then one day to go, I'm looking at me and I think I like what I see. It's quite a difference. So denials and affirmations are tools that drastically help this process. So I want to invite you to think of a situation when I talk about forgiveness. Sometimes we know things that we haven't forgiven, and sometimes we don't. So think about a situation that really frosts your cookie. Something that really doesn't work for you. Doesn't mean that it makes you angry, but just something that you've been thinking about for a long time. Might be somebody in our government or some way that things are run or a neighbor. Anything, whatever it is, a parent, you know, could be anything. So think about that situation. And then we're just going to do a couple affirmations in denial, so you can just repeat after me. This situation has no power over me. No chains bind me. Divine substance is my true reality and surrounds me now. All in heaven and in earth is my birthright. Creation was made for me to flourish in. And love is my way. I love you. I forgive you. Thank you. So perhaps you can feel the power of that spoken word. And we start to realize that all spiritual work is actually an inside job. It has nothing to do with the situation outside of us, clearing the way. It is for giving. It is giving the mind back to its original truth before it was tarnished with the error thought that you are anything less than whole, anything less than beautiful. There's a line in the Bible that came to me when that popped up there, and it just simply says, whenever you stand praying, forgive whatever you have against anyone so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you will not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So why is that? Because it's a tyrant God? No. It's because our willingness to listen is as loud as we can hear the voice for God. That where we say no, God says, okay, I won't go any farther. And the more that we allow, the more it gets to come in. It's actually not a judgmental God that's saying that. It's a spiritual law. And forgiving, I always think about this, forgiving can feel like jumping off a cliff and free falling. Because if I'm not that resentment, then who am I? And if I let go of that, then everything that I've done for the last 20 years doesn't mean anything. Well, so what? Jump off the cliff. It's what skydiving's for. It's what diving into the ocean in Hawaii off the cliff is for. Free falling into forgiveness. To the degree that we will forgive, we will realize more and more that true nature. And so in faith and forgiveness, you can see kind of what's going on here. When they're exercised in these ways, we're able to learn and to discern and to draw from that spring of eternal life to water the seeds that we truly want to be watering. And we can allow God's grace to flow through our being. God's grace is just simply his desire, God's desire to express through you as you. That's all it ever is. Life is meant to flow freely, like Sharon was talking about. You know, she said, I just learned how to let it flow. Just let it flow freely through you. It's how life's supposed to be. It wants you to flourish. That we're meant to have the keys to the kingdom and to use them to unlock those doors and to know divine prosperity in every footstep and with every breath. Okay. So if creation is done and all things in creation are ours to use, then all it is about removing these obstacles to manifesting whatever it is that we desire. It's never about getting something that's not there, but rather about aligning with our source, clearing the way, and allowing it to come through. In Malachi, there's this interesting line that says, it's talking about tithing. And they said, I don't know who was talking because the Hebrew scriptures are a little confusing to me. You never know what's going on. But somebody says, bring your tithes into the storehouse and bring them all, because can't you see what you're doing when you hoard them to yourselves? And then he says, see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. And I thought, wow, the more that I give, the more that I receive, the more that I hold my resentments and my grievances and my stuff, the more that I can't see because I've obscured the water from getting to the seed. Of course, there's more to it than just all of this. In fact, there's 7 steps to creation I can't wait to tell you about. There's so much stuff here, you guys. You folks. I'm learning. It's a learning process up here. But these things, faith, forgiveness, and allowing, they're fundamental aspects to manifestation. Faith is the foundation. It is the church, the rock that the church is built upon. So, how are you guys doing? I did it again. Okay. Want to hear a little prosperity story? Okay, it's my own personal prosperity story, and it's what happened around the time where I started coming into this job here, and all these things happened in my life to really change it. And I had just gotten together with Jenny not too long ago, so we'd been together maybe a year or two, and we were living on this really cool house on a lake over in Panther Lake, really beautiful, beautiful place. And yet, it was hard to run around to all my different jobs and do all this different work, and we really wanted a house. And I'd seen in my own mind this property that I'd wanted and the way I kind of would like to have my home be. And hers was the same way. She had similar ideas. We wanted a big place with a vegetable garden, you know, and some other stuff. And so I let Stuart Woods know, hey, Stuart, we're looking for a place, kind of, but not really. And so we went, looked at a couple properties, and anyway, nothing ever happened. And then one day we were in Hawaii, and he sent me an email. He said, you got to see this house. It's perfect for you, because he knows me. You know? He said, it's perfect. It's got this big shop and this nice home, and it's got a big vegetable garden, and it's nice and quiet. And I said, wow, that sounds great. So I said, Jenny, check it out. She's okay. She said, well, we could go look at it, but I felt something in her. She just wasn't quite ready. And so anyway, we went and looked at it, and he was right. That was the perfect house for us. I could not have found a better house, but I wasn't ready. And she wasn't ready, and we talked about it. We said, sorry. And so I told him, I said, it's just not time for us. He said, you are insane. You'll never find that house again. And I said, it's probably true, but we're going to have to pass. And so anyway, I'd been talking to this fellow who I work with in the car business, and he said, tell me about that house. And I told him what it had. He said, my friend Charlie bought that place. I said, well, that is so cool. I said, it's perfect for anybody that does cars and stuff. And so anyway, he had bought that place, and I thought, that's great. So I went on with my life. About 6 months later, I was walking down the road innocently. I swear it was innocently. And has anybody ever gotten struck by the cosmic 2x4? That's what happened. And it just said simply, better call Charlie. And I thought, what is that for? And then I thought, okay, well, I have to get a hold of my friend who told me that Charlie had bought the place and get his phone number. And the next day I ran into him. And I said, what's going on with Charlie? He said, he's not going to stay in that place. He wants to move on. And I said, really? Do you have his phone number? And he said, yeah. So I called him up, and he had done all this work on this home, made it even better than it was. And I went out and talked with him, and he was going through a hard time in his life and needed to make some changes. Anyway, long story short, we were able to buy this place that was never going to come around again. And somehow it did. And everything lined up. I mean, it was, I think when I share with you guys about allowing, I truly mean that, because this is what happened. I just allowed it to happen, and it did. And Jenny was ready, and we were ready, and we got the place. And, you know, it wasn't easy getting settled in. We've been there a couple of years. It was challenging. But now we're settling in as our home, and we realize the profound blessing that it is. Oh, my gosh, it is such a profound blessing, this home, perfect for us. And I realized how much I'd seen that in my mind and how much she had. And then when the soil was prepared, the water flowed through. And now there's this whole thing growing. And so it's just so fun how it works. And I always say that that's available. The prosperity stories that we heard today from Dana and from Sharon, and that we'll hear more from other 4Tiers, and from all of the prosperity stories that you guys carry, that's available to anybody. So if you're sitting out there thinking, oh, not for me. No, you are the Christ. That's that little insert that I gave you. You are the Christ, pure and innocent. All is forgiven and released. Put that on your altar like they were talking about. I am prosperous always and in all ways. If you say that affirmation every day for 30 days, just twice a day, It will change your life. I guarantee that that is true. Okay, we've spent a lot of time. Do you guys want to do a few more affirmations with me? Okay. All right, take a big breath in and let it go. All right. I am the Christ, pure and innocent. All is forgiven and released. I cannot suffer. Divine love surrounds me now. All error is now erased from my mind. My faith is only in God. I forgive the world. I forgive myself. I claim the whole power of God to flow through me now. I claim the whole power of God to flow through me now. I claim the whole power of God to flow through me now. And so it is. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you.